Hey everyone, this is Ksenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Planable, the collaboration tool for social media teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. Every week, we explore the story of their careers, the choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. My guest today is Caroline Shumway, a creative marketer with a decade of experience on the creative agency side, and most recently, the brand side. Caroline has looked after a variety of brands in her career, including UPS, Johnson & Johnson, Gerber, Philips, and Sennheiser. Most recently, Caroline led product campaigns for Sennheiser on the agency side at Ogilvy Amsterdam. As many agency people do, she made the switch over to the brand side, continuing her work on the global consumer marketing and campaign team for Sennheiser. She's got a passion for disruptive creative and creating market-specific awareness campaigns. Caroline, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today on People of Marketing podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So I would love to start this interview, this conversation, with walking a bit through your career and trying to connect the dots. So you've been mostly on the agency side and have recently made the switch to the client side. But I want to start, you know, with the beginning of your career. So let's connect the dots and look backwards a bit on your career. And my first question would be, you know, what would you say was your first interaction with marketing, and what do you think got you into marketing in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say my first interaction with marketing was an advertising class that I took in college. I became fascinated with tracking consumer behavior and then creating brand communications from that and the different insights that you can collect. And I landed a marketing internship at IBM in college, where I was able to shadow the VP of advertising at IBM at Ogilvy for the day. And needless to say, I would say the rest was history. I was sort of hooked on the creative process from that moment and was one of the lucky ones knowing exactly what they wanted to do as they left or entered the workforce.
That's amazing. I see, you know, that you've mostly interned on the brand side. So you had, you know, an internship at IBM, and earlier you had an internship at Converse. But you started your career with the agency world. How so?
I think after that advertising class in college, I really got hooked on the creative space, and I really set my sights early on Ogilvy, to be specific. I just thought that they were doing some incredible work and had some huge clients and was able to follow along their path and their journey. And that's really what kind of set the tone for me and made me want to go into that space. So I worked very hard to get that first internship and, you know, got it interviewed with different people and kind of made a lot of different contacts that I kept in touch with. And that's what really got me into the agency world. And that's how I kicked off my career. So yeah, I have stayed mostly on the agency side. And I love the agency side. It was a really fast paced, fun environment. But it was a nice foray into the brand side as well.
Amazing. And early on, when you were just starting out in the marketing industry, did you have anyone that you were admiring, you know, looking up to, or, you know, kind of like a role model type of thing? Did you follow anyone for inspiration and like advice?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been so many fearless females that I've had the pleasure of working for in my career. So it would really be hard to choose, but my first account director at Ogilvy was a huge inspiration to me. She came to New York City from Australia, and really seeded in my mind and taught me from an early age that getting experience in a new market was an important way to become a really well-rounded and truly global account person. So she was definitely one of the reasons that I set my sights on Amsterdam, and it ended up being one of the best career decisions I ever made. And not to mention, her name was also Caroline.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
That's such a great story. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, how did you make the decision in the end to switch to the client side? What was it that prompted you to make this transition?
Let's see. I think very early on in my career, when I was leaving Ogilvy and heading to BBDO, a new agency, some departing words that I heard from our CFO and piece of advice that he gave me was, you know, one day you should consider the client side. And at the time, I didn't really think anything of it because I was so obsessed with the agency world and, you know, envisioned myself becoming a managing director one day and living the agency life forever. But that insight really stuck with me for some reason over the years, and I've always kept it in the back of my mind. And when the opportunity presented itself to move over to the brand side in the past 2 years, I jumped at the opportunity. It felt like the perfect foray.
Amazing. So it seems like you were really in love with the agency world since you took that advertising class. So I'm curious, what was that thing, you know, one thing that no one told you about the agency world that you later on learned by yourself?
Yeah, I think the fast-paced environment, you sort of knew going into it that, and that's one of the things that enticed me about it from the beginning, was constantly changing, constantly new asks, etc. But it really is very fast paced, and keeping up with cultural events and everything that's happening in the market is definitely something that to this day is always a challenge, and you don't fully have the, you know, full breadth and understanding of that going into the job early on.
100%. I hear that a lot from agency professionals about the dynamic pace of the agency world. And yeah, it's probably one of the fastest, you know, industries out there.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, let's talk a bit about the early start of your career and in general about the journey that you've had so far. In life, we have sometimes this very seemingly insignificant events where they seemed insignificant at that time, but they went and actually changed our lives. Did you have anything like that?
I think that I would have to go back again to that comment from the CFO at Ogilvy when I was heading from one agency to the next, and saying that one day I should go to the brand side and, you know, consider that. I don't think that I had any intention at that stage, but that insight really stuck with me over time, and it seemed insignificant at the time, but it has ultimately curved my career path.
That's amazing. So I want to ask you about, I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
I've stalked you a lot. And, you know, one thing that stands up quite a lot is the fact that you started with Ogilvy, and then you know, after a few agencies, you went back to Ogilvy. So I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
What happened out there? And I see that the second time you went with Ogilvy was in Amsterdam. It feels like you fell in love with Amsterdam completely. You even have your cover on LinkedIn is with a photo for Amsterdam, right?
The canals.
Yes. So tell us a bit about that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out at Ogilvy and was there for 3 years. I transitioned to two other agencies in New York City. And I had always had this idea that I would go work in a new market. And I really wanted to follow that dream. I started the process of looking into moving to Amsterdam. And basically my tactic was reaching out to as many agency people that were working in Amsterdam that I could find on LinkedIn. And I was targeting specifically people who had come from a different country and then moved to Amsterdam. And I basically reached out and just asked for all types of advice. How did you do it? How long did the process take? You know, what are the best agencies? Any type of question that I could wrap my head around. And eventually, after probably 18 months of searching and working these conversations, I had the opportunity to go over and visit Amsterdam. And I met with some of the people that I had been in contact with. And lo and behold, it worked out that Ogilvy had an opening on a brand, that global brand, that was really a perfect fit for my career. And we made it happen. So it was not a simple process. When I was speaking with some of these people on LinkedIn and these various contacts that I had made, everyone said, you know, it will really take 2 years to find something, especially if you're not in Amsterdam to be able to interview face to face.
Yeah.
It's much harder when, you know, you're having to go up against other candidates who they're able to meet in person and you have to Skype in, and and you have the whole logistic issue of, you know, transferring from one country to another and how long that takes with visas, et cetera. But ultimately it was the best thing I've done for my career.
Was that the first time you lived somewhere outside of the United States for a longer period of time?
I did 6 months in Argentina, and I did studying in school, and I did another stint in Switzerland when I was much younger, also for 3 or 4 months. So it wasn't the first time, but it was definitely the first time on my own, you know, making it not with associated with a program or something like that.
Yeah. And what did you do afterwards? Where are you based at the moment? Did you stay in Amsterdam or did you move?
Yeah, so I stayed in Amsterdam working at Ogilvy for a year. I moved over actually to work on Philips, and I worked on Philips for a couple weeks and then quickly made the jump over to the Sennheiser account, which of course is very natural. Everything's changing in the agency world all the time. So you never know what you're going to get. But that ended up being one of the best experiences. And a client actually invited me to move over to their side after a year of working on Sennheiser. And so I made the jump to the brand side that way, which was honestly the perfect way to do it, because there's a lot to learn about headphones and and so going into the brand side with that knowledge of the brand already was a huge leg up and a great experience overall. So I have been with Sennheiser now on the Sennheiser side for a little over a year. I moved back from Amsterdam to the United States, actually the day that the first corona case was identified in Amsterdam. So made it out right on time. And now I am based right outside of Boston.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I have a curiosity. You've worked, when you were in the agency space, you've worked in a variety of brands. You know, Johnson & Johnson, Gerber, and I'm curious, you know, what company do you think is doing great marketing today? Do you have like, you know, a few couple of brands that you're following for inspiration and you think they're doing amazing jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one that sticks out to me the most is Glossier. I just think that they've been one of the best marketing case studies in recent years, and they've just created this people-powered beauty ecosystem that no one else is doing.
I love that. I love this answer. It's not the first time we talk about Glossier on this podcast.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I think firstly, they're so intentional with their product creation. They engage their customers further up the funnel and earlier in the product development and brand strategy phase. So they're able to position and actually create something that people want. The product that sticks out to me the most is the Glossier Milky Jelly Cleanser. You know, that is not only a face cleanser, but it's also a makeup remover. And no other brand would do that because that would take away sales from two different products, but they really combined it into one, listened to their customers. And I also think they've just mastered their community. So they've really put the power in their customers and made them stakeholders for the brand, which you don't see a lot of other brands doing these days.
Yeah, that's very true. Too bad they're not available in too many countries here in Europe, unfortunately.
I'll send you some.
Yes. Okay, so talking about your current position at Sennheiser, tell us a bit more about what you do. Tell us, you know, what does a typical day look like in your work life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on the consumer marketing team, and I do basically help with campaigns, product campaigns, and media. So a typical day, throughout the year, we will launch a variety of different products. So what we do is create campaigns around each of these products, align media, create productions, come up with basically a marketing package that we can deploy globally for these different product offerings.
Right. And you told me when we were talking earlier that you were already working remotely with the team. So you had an advantage transitioning to work from home. You didn't have to transition. You were already working from home.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did the team transition? What was some of the things that you've implemented for yourself when you first started working remotely to be productive? How do you ensure that you keep, you know, an efficient week? How do you plan your work or your schedule? Tell us about, you know, keeping focused and productive while working from home.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started working from home as soon as I switched to Sennheiser. I remained in Amsterdam, and they're based out of Wedemark in Germany. So I would go and travel 1 week a month and visit the team, and the rest of the time I would work remotely. But additionally, we did previously have a lot of travel. So I would end up seeing my team much more often, which kept things really interesting and really dynamic. But yes, so now everyone has joined in on the working from home party. It's definitely, you know, interesting. I think there are pros and cons to it. The cons are that, you know, you don't necessarily get to see everyone all the time, and you're on the phone a lot versus, face-to-face interaction. But on the contrary, I find that, you know, productivity-wise, you can really fit a lot in a shorter amount of time. So what I like to do is often work in, I often will set a timer and work for 30 minutes, get up, take a walk, work for another 30 minutes, get up, take a walk. But I also really structure my day around the time that I'll be at my computer. So making sure that I sit down and, but then also get up for lunch and keep that schedule, and then make sure that I sign off by 6 o'clock. I have really found that one of the challenges for me, especially working on a global team where people are online all the time, you really have to set boundaries for yourself and not let yourself just stay online all night long.
Yeah. People were talking about the fact that they have gained new time, new free time, you know, time that they were spending on commuting before. Did you feel the same when you made this transition, and what did you do with your time?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing, I started working out in the middle of the day, which has,
Ooh,
you know,
yes.
You can take, instead of that hour for lunch, you can do a quick, you know, yoga class in your house. And that, I think, has definitely, you know, kind of sort of changes the way that you work.
Yeah, it energizes you, right?
It kind of gives you a new, gives you a second boost. Yep, exactly. A second boost for the afternoon.
Amazing. Okay, let's talk a bit about, let's go back to the start of your career. And one question I love asking is, if there's anything you wish you knew when you were just starting out in your career with the agency world, what advice would you give to yourself back then?
I think that international experience is one of the best things that you can do for your career. It's just so important to see different markets and cultures from another lens other than your own. So for example, you know, in my day-to-day work, headlines and product positioning in APAC is totally different from what you would see in the US or in Europe. And a lot of agencies believe that testing kills creativity, but it's also one of the most important tools to ensure you're not alienating a specific customer set. So I really do believe that having that global mindset is really crucial and a piece of advice that I would give to someone starting out.
This is such a great answer, because usually, you know, people think about the global perspective more from like a culturally one, you know, like understanding the cultures and understanding different points of views. But I love the fact that it's a professional advantage that you can actually get a career advantage out of this. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I love this answer. I love to talk in this podcast, not, you know, just about the pretty and the pink stuff of our careers, because we talk a lot about that in our industry, but I like to talk, you know, about the challenges and the failures as well. So one question that I have for you is, what habits or skills did you struggle the most to develop in yourself? What was like the challenge for you in, you know, developing and improving yourself, and what current ones you're trying to improve at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think managing creativity is very hard to do. You don't want to be overbearing or a dictator, but you also need to leverage the creativity that you've hired these teams for. So on the agency side, I always found myself having to massage the ideas into something I felt comfortable standing behind when presenting to clients. And now on the client side, you have to judge the creativity in a different way and consider all possibilities for how it could and will be perceived. So my agency experience definitely helped on this front, but it's always something that I think everyone can get better at, and something that I still try to get better at every day.
How do you train that muscle, you know, the creativity muscle?
I think repetition.
Mm.
Yeah, just, you know, seeing new work and massaging it into something that works in the market.
And building, like build, constantly building and thinking, you know, new ideas and just never stopping.
Yeah. And I also think developing a rapport with, you know, creatives and the agencies that you're working with is one of the most crucial elements as well. And being able to understand one another and get the best work out of people.
Yeah. And you've, you know, in the agency world, we talk a lot about the fact, and especially, you know, from this creative point of view, there's a lot of talk about how hard it is, you know, to get the no's, the rejection of, you know, of the creative that you're building. How was that for you? How did you manage it?
Oh, it's happened a million times.
I love this.
You just have to take it with a grain of salt and
not a big deal.
try again, you know?
Get over it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. So my last question before we wrap up with our rapid fire session is a very controversial question, but it usually gets the best answers. What's, you know, one belief or buzzword trending today, and we definitely have a lot in our, you know, marketing world, but what's that one belief or buzzword that is really annoying you or that you disagree with it?
I think value add is an over or overused word that gets, or term that gets thrown out a lot. Yes, everything we do should add value. So right. Instead of value add, we should say something specific that actually has meaning. So for example, instead of will this program be a big value add, we need to substitute it for we need to see if this program is actually going to increase revenue before we commit to it. So right. When you get specific like that, it makes it more clear the goal that you're trying to reach it with the program that you're creating and what type of value it would need to make sense.
That's such a great answer, you know, making it more meaningful, making this value add a bit more meaningful and more exact.
Exactly.
Good. So let's move on to our rapid fire session. So I have four questions for you. Quick questions, quick answers. Are you ready, Caroline?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. So the first one is, if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
I think that I would want to be a stunt double.
So specific.
I've played a lot of sports in high school and in college, and I've always felt like I would make a formidable stunt double.
I love that. What's your favorite app or tool you use at work?
I believe Slack. It's just been one of the best ways to stay on top of a lot of different work streams. Yeah. And I found that it eliminates emails. Mm-hmm. I actually don't currently use it in my current job, but I've used it in the past. And it just really allows you to organize your thoughts in various channels. And if you have a quick question that doesn't need to be a long email, you can get it answered quickly.
I can definitely relate to this. We use Slack a lot at Thunderbolt, and it's, it has definitely made our life easier. What's your favorite social media network?
I'd have to say Instagram, but for a specific reason. One tool that I have just started to use recently is I've actually started to turn it into a competitive intelligence platform for myself. So you're able to save posts and put them into a specific folder. So I will grab lots of different posts from different competitive brands, and then I can refer back to them really quickly and see what the other ones are doing.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, you can't share those folders yet, but I'm hoping Instagram will come out with that next.
Yeah, that's great. And my last question for you is, worst advice you've ever received?
I think the worst advice I've ever received in relation to a campaign was, the last campaign you did worked. Just do what you did there. While that's a compliment, it also doesn't necessarily work because, you know, consumers and the communications landscape are just changing too fast to keep doing what you've done before and expecting the same or better returns.
Yeah, so repetition of creativity, exactly. But not just like that.
Right.
Not exactly like that. This was such a great conversation, Caroline. Thank you so much for, you know, sharing your story, sharing your journey. I really enjoyed chatting with you. I hope you enjoyed it too. And thank you again for taking the time to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And for everyone else who joined and listened, thank you guys. And till next time.